Thanks, Paul, for the nice introduction, and thanks for the invitation for presenting our result or our research and that I've been conducting over the past couple of years. So the previous speakers have already gave a nice presentation kind of summarizing the progress in GM product in the perennial grasses, and today I would like to focus on some of the work that we have been doing on developing new traits in the perennial species specific in turf grass, and also develop the molecular strategy for transgene containment and some environmental impact assessment. So why perennial grasses? So I think everybody knows very well that perennial grasses are major players in agricultural productions. Besides the traditionally important crop like forage and turf grass, right now we have some weedy species such as switchgrass and Miss Kansas, for example, that have been become a more important players in modern agriculture because of the emerging demand for the bioenergy productions. So overall, the perennial species play a very important role in the modern agriculture productions. And as such, genetic improvement of those perennial species become very important. A long list of the traits, of desirable traits, and we can see here, of course, it's not all here. Traditional breeding, we say, that have been very successful in different perennial species in achieving the goals of improving different traits and producing excellent products. Or with the development of recombinant DNA technologies and transgenic technologies, and right now, and as we see and from the presentation of the previous speakers this morning, we see that in perennial species, the biotech approaches that has been used to produce new product with improved performance has been very successful in perennial species, just like in the row crops as well. So today I would like to focus on turf grass that I've been working on, and of course I don't need to emphasize the importance of turf grass as important perennial species, not only in golf course but also in our daily life, the impact, the agriculture economy, and the environment. Okay. So talking about genetic improvement of perennial species, especially using biotech approaches, so we are just talking about different aspects of emphasis of the work. First, of course, the trait modification. So what kind of trait we're going to work, and what kind of the genes we're used to improve their performance. And the second big question is really, okay, we're talking about the perennial species, because of the perenniality and also the weediness and also crossability to other weedy species, there's also the question about transgene escaping, and also how about the final products, you know, the so-called ideal products, that means the clean GM products without, besides the desired traits, we don't want any other components there. So that's the second question. The third question is really, what will be the environmental impacts of the GMO product? Okay. So today I would like to just focus on sending my talk around those three topics for the work that we have been conducting during the last couple of years, and giving some examples for the work that we can do use the molecular biology approach to trying to address those questions. Okay. So for trait modification, so there are a lot of traits, desirable traits, and we know that biotic and abiotic traits are the most important components in the agriculture production. So it's not only for the row crops, it's also true for the perennial species, including the turf grass. So like pathogen, insects, drought, salt, cold, heat, and a long list of other environmental stresses are major players impacting agriculture production and the agriculture economy. Okay. So talking about the environmental stress, so basically a lot of mechanisms, it's regulated or it's controlled by a complex regulatory networks. And I like this slide, and actually basically summarize all the components that could be contributing to the plant response to environmental stress. So that includes like functional proteins, such as water channels, detoxification enzymes, protective proteins, for example, and also regulatory proteins, such as transcription factors, and also the mechanisms that control transcription level, translation level, post-translational translation level regulations. And also we are talking about this non-coding RNAs, which are a very important group of small RNA molecules that have been demonstrated to play a major role in plant development as well as in plant response to environmental stress. So I would like to give some examples of, you know, manipulating different pathways in these different groups to trying to enhance the perennial species performance. Okay. The first example I would like to show is a work that we have we completed in 2010 actually. And it's trying to use a plant vacuolar proton pumps, which is a very important component which create the transmembrane in the vacuolar transmembrane electrochemical gradients, creating force to uptake secondary metabolites like, you know, amino acids, sugars, and ions, and such in such a way so you can enhance or change osmotic lysis. So in promoting uptake of water and also the fact of the sequestration of toxic ions such as sodium into the vacuole that protect the cytoplasm from toxicity. So they would think that they also enhance plant resistance to salt. Okay. So indeed, when this gene is overexpressed, we clone the gene from Arabidopsis, which is AVP1, it's a vacuolar proton pyrophosphatase. When overexpressed in transgenic plants, so we can say that the transgenic plants and versus wild-type plants, the transgenic plants has a much robust root system, which is associated with enhanced hormone auxin transport that is synthesized in the above ground part into the roots. And also, when we test their performance under water stress conditions, and the transgenic plants on the right had a much better performance compared to wild-type plants. And also, most strikingly, when tested under the salt stress conditions, as we can see here, transgenic plants also perform much better than the wild-type controls. And in the, even the 300 millimolar sodium chloride conditions, although both wild-type and transgenic plants are damaged, but the transgenic plants can eventually recover. Well, the wild-type plants are completely wiped out. So this is this example gives a good shelf case and demonstrating the power of biotechnology approach. So by modifying the vacuolar proton pumps, we can expect to change the plant performance and enhancing the plant's resistance to different stress. Okay, the second example I would like to show is a gene that cloned from cyanobacteria called flavodoxin. So we know that flavoproteins proteins are very important components, and that control that is the electron carrier, so which impact different biological processes, including plant response to environmental stress. We know that in higher plants, the flavoproteins it's unstable. So under the stress conditions, the enzymatic activity are largely impacted. But the flavodoxin from the cyanobacteria is a very stable enzyme, and even under adverse environmental conditions, it can still function very well. So the hypothesis would be if we can introduce this into the higher plants, and we would expect that under adverse environmental conditions, the plant can still, the flavoprotein is still functional, and so plant will have a better performance. And indeed, when we introduce this into creeping bent grass, and so we can see the transgenic plants and versus wild-type plants under water stress conditions, they have a better performance. Okay, and strikingly, we did another experiment in a similar with different transgenic events and wild-type control and planting together randomly. And from this experiment, we can see that after water withholding and recovery, and some plants died and showing much severe symptoms. And in fact, all those transgenic plants performing better than wild-type plants again. Okay. In addition, we also test the response of transgenic plants in other kind of stress, for example, the oxidative stress as well as the heat stress. And in all those two conditions, the transgenic plants, when compared to the wild-type plants, perform much better. So indicating that by introducing a foreign gene or proteins from another species, plant species, a lower ranked plant species, we can also expect to change the plant performance and enhance plant resistance to various environmental stress. Okay, so this is kind of the function of proteins or structure proteins, if you want, that by modifying their expression and we can, or their function, we can expect to achieve the goals of enhancing plant performance. And here I would like to give another example of using a regulatory protein. This is a sumo E3 ligase, which is cloned from rice. So sumoylation is a post-translation regulatory process which can impact a lot of biological processes, including plant response to environmental stress. So E3 enzyme is an important component in the sumoylation process. So when this gene is overexpressed in creeping bentgrass, again on the right, we can see transgenic plant has much robust root system compared to wild-type plants. So this translates into enhanced drought tolerance, actually. And also, not only this, when we test the plants for other stress, we can see that transgenic plants versus wild-type plants has also enhanced heat tolerance, and as well as a tolerance to phosphate starvation, and as demonstrated in these pictures. So with the different concentration of phosphate supply, we can see with the lower phosphate supply, transgenic plants survive much better than wild-type plants. But when you increase the phosphate supply, and the difference becomes much less significant when you have enough phosphate for supply, and both wild-type transgenic plants actually didn't show any difference. And we demonstrate that the transgenic plants has much enhanced capacity of uptaking phosphates from soil. So this is another example showing that by modifying the regulatory proteins or regulatory process in plants, we can also expect to change the plant performance and achieving enhanced resistance to different stress. Okay, so those examples show regulatory proteins or structure or function of proteins and their role in enhancing or changing or modifying plants for their performance. And here I would like to give a couple of examples of using a new small RNA molecules, specifically the microRNAs, that could also be used as a new molecular tool to enhance the plant performance under adverse environmental conditions. Here is one of the microRNA 319, which is very conserved across the board. And this is again gene clone from rice. So when overexpressed in creeping bentgrass, we can see that morphologically, and there are some change. The plant leaves become wider and the stems become bigger. And most strikingly, when tested under environmental stress, so the transgenic plants showed much enhanced tolerance to salt, and as well as the enhanced tolerance to droughts. And it turns out that transgenic plants has the mechanism of resistance comes based is because the transgenic plants has kind of enhanced exclusive mechanisms. So the salt uptake is much less than the wild type plants. So this is wonderful example of using a very much conserved microRNA to change the plant performance. The second example is microRNA 156, and so you this morning. In his presentation has given a beautiful example of using this microRNA in switchgrass to change the plant performance or plant biomass. And here, similarly, we introduced this clone from rice and into turf creeping bentgrass. You can see as much as the situation in rice and Arabidopsis tabaco, the plants become dwarf and much more tillers or branches, if you want. So this is probably desirable trait in turf grass and dwarf. And most striking, we test those plants under environmental stress, specifically in water deficiency conditions. Transgenic plants are performing much better than wild-type plants, indicating that microRNA 156 can not only change the plant morphology or development, but also render plant enhanced resistance to environmental stress. Another example showing here one more microRNA, which also is conserved, very much conserved across the board. When overexpressed in transgenic creeping bentgrass, it has some impact in plant growth, but most striking enhance the plant resistance to salt, as well as a plant response to nitrogen efficiency. So enhance the utilization efficiency of nitrogen. Okay. And similarly, additionally, microRNA here shows that it also changes the plant development, so plant become dwarf again, has also enhanced the plant performance under environmental stress. And here is the taste of transgenic plants under cold conditions. So transgenic plants versus wild-type plants, we can see the difference. Transgenic plants perform better, much better than the wild-type control. And most strikingly, actually, and we know that creeping bluegrass is the perennial species which need vernalization flower, but overexpression of this microRNA led to the plant's flower bypassing vernalization requirements. And it also seems that it impacts the pollen development. So in another word, overexpression of this microRNA render plants sterility, okay, which probably a good trait in developing transgenic plants and perennial species. So all those examples actually show the power of changing different genes expression to enhance the plant performance to abiotic stress. So what about biotic stress, actually? Here I would like just show one example of similar strategy that could also be used to change the plant performance under biotic stress. And here it's a transgenic creeping bluegrass that we have created expressing an antimicrobial peptide from cloned from the shrimp. And as we can see here that transgenic plants, when compared to wild-type plants, so when attacked by pathogens, the fungal pathogens, two fungal pathogens, they have shown enhanced performance under both conditions. And it's one is a dark spot, another is a brown patch, two of the most important fungal diseases. So indicating that by using the agricultural biotechnology approaches, we can enhance the plant performance using different strategies under both biotic and abiotic stress conditions. Okay, so with all those examples, I hope that I've convinced you that right now we have the toolbox or the tools or the strategies that could be fully functional and to create the product, a desirable perennial products, especially in turf grass. So next question comes to how, so what will be the, so when developing GMO product, especially in turf grass, perennial species, another question is really, how to develop so-called ideal GMO products, which include two different aspects. One is the gene containment, another is to remove all the unnecessary components from the final products. So I would like to give to prove some examples showing some of the work that we have done in the lab here. So the first question is really how to develop transgene containment strategies, and what we have been trying is to produce male sterility or total sterility in transgenic products. So this way, so we can avoid the problem of transgene escaping by pollen dispersion or totally without flower. And so that we're sure that transgenes stay there where it should be. And so we have cloned, in one of the work that we have been conducted, we cloned the rice gene, which is specifically expressed in rice tabatum cells, and which has also been demonstrated to be critical for pollen development. So when this gene is locked down or locked out, the rice plants become male sterile. And the same promoter of this gene has been used to drive RNAs, barnase genes, and the antisense of the rice genes in turf grass, creeping bluegrass, and we've demonstrated, we successfully created male sterile turf grass, and which has been field trialed. So this is one example of creating male sterility. We have also developed strategies to develop controlled total sterility by manipulating the flower controlling genes, which we also successfully created transgenic creeping bluegrass, which are tested in the greenhouse and then show the total sterility, okay, which I'm not going into details here. And another, so this is kind of strategies or the example given here to show how we can use the molecular strategies trying to create for transgene containment. So another question is so-called clean transgenic product. In another word, so in the final product, we would only want the product contain the desirable genes without any other additional components such as selective marker genes or backbone DNAs. So to do this, we have developed a so-called dual site-specific combination system to create the transgenic products In the final products, we will achieve both gene containment as well as removing all the unnecessary components from the products. And specifically, we have two different constructs that are using two different site-specific recombination systems. I'm not going into details about what they are, which actually are the systems not originally discovered in the plant, but in other systems, organisms such as yeasts or bacteria, which can specifically recognize the DNA sequence, target sequence, and remove the DNA between the two target sites. So with the two different, for example, FLIP-FRT CRELOX system, we created two different constructs. So in the first construct, we have a male sterility gene or total sterility gene controlled by a constitutive promoter, but it's separated from the promoter by a starter fragment. So in this starter fragment, we have the first recombinase CRE, which will be expressed, and we also have a selective marker gene bar there, okay, and followed by an inducible promoter, which can drive male sterility or total sterility gene expression in case of a failure of recombination systems. In the second construct, we have a gene of interest, whether it's a disease resistance or drug tolerance genes and whatever you want, and driving by a constitutive promoter, which is separated by another starter fragment. This is a bar gene, which is a selective marker gene, which is flanked by the recombinase CRE target sites, and followed by a second recombinase FLIP, which is flanked by its own target sites. So when those two are introduced into the plants individually, we create transgenic plants which can be propagated under contained conditions, and then we make the cross. Okay. So in the hybrid project, those two constructs were brought together, and the expression of the CRE, the first recombinase, showed a functional to recognize the target site in the second construct between the bar gene, you can see. So the bar gene will be removed. So when bar gene is removed, the FLIP gene will be expressed, so the second recombinase. Okay. So when this FLIP gene is expressed, it will recognize the target site in the first construct, so remove the whole thing from the starter fragment there, and also its own coding sequence in the second construct. So eventually creating two final product is the ubiquitin promoter driving male sterility gene or total sterility gene, or a constitutive promoter driving gene of interest. So all the unnecessary fragment will be removed. Okay. So to test this, we have replaced the male sterility gene or gene of interest by reporter genes, and we test this in arabidopsis, and right now we are testing in Cretin pancreas and demonstrating its functionalities. And here I would like just to show the example of the molecular analysis of this product. So in the hybrid progeny, we indeed observed the production of the final product, so-called clean product, which has been inherited to the next generations, which I'm not going into details about this. Of course, the efficiency is still the problem, but we are working on enhanced efficiency. So this gives the example of how we can use the molecular strategies, but not only to modify and treat, but also develop the transgene containment approach or to produce the clean or ideal GMO products. Okay, so that comes to our third kind of questions about the developing transgenic perennial species. So that's the environmental impact assessment of GMO products. As I mentioned that we never know, even the row crops, there is always the question about what would be the consequence, ecological consequence, or environmental consequence. So we have been trying to design experiments to assess or to study what would be the impact, at least in near-term impact. So the specific question we were asking is how transgenic plants develop under stress and long stress conditions when growing together with wheat species. We use annual bluegrass as well as the Nagel forage alfalfa, for example. And another question we would like to ask is what will be the effect of transgenic plants on non-target soil chemistry, for example. Okay. So we have conducted experiments. Here's a short example. We have conducted a couple of field trial experiments under USDA FIS permits. And here's a short example of testing the AVP1 transgenic plants in the field, which confirms what we have observed in the greenhouse studies. Okay. We have also conducted experiments and specific answered questions about the interaction of transgenic plants with the weedy species and legume species. And here's a short example, like you know, wild-type plants and different transgenic plants expressing different genes. And we can clearly see the different performance, okay, under field conditions. And interestingly, when we compare, so when we grow weedy species together with the transgenic plants or legume plants together with the transgenic plants, we would like to show to see what will be the impact of transgenic plants when compared to the wild-type plants to the growth, undergrowth of the weedy species. And then the interesting, you can see that, you know, the perennial grass, and when grew with the wild-type plants, when compared to the perennial plants growing with different transgenic lines, their performance or their biomass are different, which is actually reflect the performance of individual transgenic plants. So indicating that really for the transgenic the product development, it's really the case-by-case situation. We really need to, every single transgenic product, we need to study case-by-case and what's going on. And I'm not going into details about this, and very similar results we have obtained also for the legume alfalfa plants when growing together with wild-type plants or transgenic plants. Okay. This is an ongoing project, and we are still testing what's the impact to the soil biochemistry of transgenic plants. Okay, so I think I would like to end here by showing this slide I steal from one of my undergraduate students doing independent research in the lab. I think there are a lot of progress from, I think, previous speakers and the presentations here. You can see there are a lot of progress that have been made and demonstrating the power of biotech approaches in enhancing the plant performance, the perennial species performance. And I think, although there are a lot of debates about its environmental consequence, but I'm confident that with more study in trait modification, in its the development of transgene containment study or developing so-called desirable final products, as well as the assessment of environmental space of individual transgenic products, I'm sure the grass will become greener in the future. And I would like to thank some of our former and present lab members who have been contributed tremendously to this work. Without them, it's not possible. Also the research sponsor from Clemson University, USDA, and Consortium Plant Biotechnology Research, Scott's company. I would also like to thank PureSafe Testing, and also Rose Agrosafe to provide the experimental materials. Thank you.
Take one question. So both you and Dr. Wang found that some of these microRNAs had very similar effects in different species, and they were grass species. But these traits are of interest in all sorts of agronomic crops. So are other groups using them to get salt tolerance and drought tolerance in other cereals and other
a good question. Actually, the microRNA work or its impact in plant development and has been extensively studied in model species like Arabidopsis or food crop like rice and other food crops. And there hasn't been any studies in perennial species. So even in food crop species, for example, there hasn't been really, to my knowledge, any with lab experiment demonstrating its involvement in plant response to environmental stress. And mostly, I think, large body of the work have been centered on its impact in plant development. So their involvement in plant response to environmental stress are really based on the data from genomic analysis, for example, microarray analysis and RNA-seq data, demonstrating its regulation. So under stress conditions, different microRNA genes are either upregulated or downregulated. So those data that I show here, I think, it's really the very first body of data from the weight experiments perspective view demonstrating its involvement in planned response to environmental stress. And I'm sure this will also be very interesting to the crop species, to the food crop species.
Thank you very much.